The story of Hughie Leadbelly Ledbetter reads like a parody of the brutal blues man biography. Kill a man, go to prison, actually do that twice, then appeal for a pardon in a song. According to the legend, Leadbelly's undeniable talent convinced Texas Governor Pat Neff to let him go.
If I had you, Governor Neff, like you got me, I'd wake up in the morning, I would set you free. Where you going? I'm going back to Mary.
The states all kind of got ticked off when that story came out and said, no, he really got out both times because his time was up.
Jeff Place sets the record straight. He's the archivist behind a new box set of Leadbelly recordings from Smithsonian Folkways. Place says the musicologist John Lomax really did discover Leadbelly in the infamous Angola prison in Louisiana. But Lomax carefully crafted and exploited Leadbelly's image as a dangerous criminal.
He took Leadbelly up to the East and to New York and to present to a lot of the folklorists and scholars, you know, as this sort of primitive savage, you know, from Louisiana. You know, the newspapers cried out, sweet savage from the swamplands here to play a few concerts for you between murders. And he dressed him up in like prison like stripes on stage and had him do this whole song and dance thing. He gave Leadbelly a career. He probably would not have had a career, you know, like that if Lomax hadn't discovered him. He probably might have stayed in the South and never been known to any of us. But I discovered a letter in the family had that where he dictated to his niece his feelings about the matter. It's really never been published before. It's in the book. Where, you know, he's just saying, look, you know, I did some bad things. And I paid my time. I did really hard time for this stuff. It's over. Let's put it behind me. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
I've been traveling from toe to toe. Everywhere I have been, I find some old Jim Crow. One thing, people, I want everybody to know. You're gonna find some Jim Crow every place you go.
You know, when we hear Leadbelly, we think blues, and we think things like these prison songs, work songs, or protest songs, or spirituals. But over these five CDs, there's an incredible range beyond that.
That was like, you know, a great thing about Leadbelly, and also kind of hurt him in some ways. He wanted to play places on the streets to make money by putting a hat out, he had to play, like, current pop songs. And he played Hawaiian music and cowboy songs and children's game songs and prison songs and you name it. Any song he heard, he would memorize it and play it.
The historical songs about the Hindenburg or the Titanic.
It was a midnight on the sea, the band is playing Jeremiah God today. By the Titanic, fairly well. It was a midnight on the sea, the band is playing Jeremiah God today. By the Titanic, fairly well.
One of the real treasures on this set is you get to hear this show that he did in New York City on WNYC.
Folk Songs of America, another program by that inimitable singer of America's own songs, Hughie Leadbelly Ledbetter.
He had done some radio. Alan Lomax got him on the radio a lot in New York City, but you know, most of the radio stations didn't really like him on the air because his heavy Louisiana accent was hard to understand, and the audience complained.
Now, this is the Grey Goose. The preacher went out hunting down in my home on a Sunday when he's supposed to have been at church, and he was a pastor of that church, and he went out to try to kill a Grey Goose instead of being at church.
But there was an anthropologist named Henrietta Yurchenko who had a show on WNYC for like a few years in the early 40s and again in the late 40s called Folk Songs of America. And she actually, you know, Woody Guthrie helped encourage her to hire Leadbelly. So he came in and was doing like, I think, a weekly show for 15 minutes. You know, he'd come on and he would sing a little bit of Goodnight Irene, and then he'd like pick a topic or pick something and kind of riff for 15 minutes on songs and words, and then play a little snippet of Goodnight Irene, and that'd be the end of the show.
Goodnight Irene.
Jeff, you've spent so much time up close with this man's music, you know, both the historical research and you know, the remastering, kind of going through it almost note by note. Is there anything in Leadbelly that still surprises you?
while I was working on this project, I was still finding things that I didn't know existed that were hiding, you know. This tape where it's like Frederick Ramsey, who recorded him on reel-to-reel tape, which was really important because when you recorded directly to disc before that, they could only be 3-4 minutes long, so you couldn't get any of his word play. You can get that on a reel-to-reel tape. Ramsey recorded a lot of stuff at his apartment of Leadbelly. And this one tape I found, which I guess somehow we never listened to, which is simply the two of them sitting around listening to Ramsey's record collection. And, like, commenting on, like, oh, I like that song. Oh, yeah, this is so-and-so.
This is on the CD where you can hear them. They're listening to, like, Bessie Smith and commenting.
Exactly. They're playing Bessie Smith. And Leadbelly's, oh, yeah, you know, Bessie Smith. And he starts singing this Bessie Smith song. And Ramsey drops the needle on the Bessie Smith 78. And Leadbelly starts singing in perfect pitch along with Bessie Smith as a duet. And that was just, like, blew my mind. I said, what's this doing? I never knew this was here.
That's Jeff Place. He's an archivist with Smithsonian Folkways. Their new retrospective box set on blues musician Leadbelly is out on Tuesday. Jeff, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
We're gonna tear it down. We're gonna tear it down. We're gonna tear